The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you're with us today. Our guest is Peter Fisher. Peter holds a PhD in economics from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is a national expert on public finance and has served as a consultant to the Iowa Department of Economic Development, the state of Ohio, and the Iowa Business Council. Now, he reports and he regularly is published in state tax notices, refereed journals. Peter is a professor emeritus of urban and regional planning at the University of Iowa, and we make welcome Peter Fisher. Welcome to the Business News Hour, Professor. Good to have you here.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Well, this is going to be, you know, we spent the first about 10 minutes of the program talking about the federal tax reform policy, the tax cut policy, actually, and who the winners and who the losers were. So we've pretty well digested all of that information as we go forward. But what I really am anxious to visit with you about is business taxes in Iowa, shall we?
Sure.
Well, we have had on the Greater Des Moines Partnership, which is a very large group of Chamber of Commerce organizations. It's the fourth largest chamber organization in the United States. Represents about 23 different chambers across central Iowa. We've also had the press releases from our friends at the Iowa Chamber Alliance that make up a number of chambers all across the state. And both, curiously enough, had in their wish list, number one wish list was a business tax relief for the state of Iowa, saying that our tax rate of 12% is the highest in the nation, and it's just like kicking people out of Iowa. People don't want to come here to open up businesses. So I'm going to turn to you on that conversation, and maybe you can help us through the weeds a bit.
Sure. And they're right about that one thing, that the top rate, 12%, is the highest in the country. But I think as any business person knows who pays any attention to taxes that their business pays, and I think they probably all do.
I would hope so.
Let's hope so. If they're still in business, they're going to. That's hardly the end of the story. And what you need to look at is the overall tax system. What are the deductions? What are the exemptions? What's the tax base? How do we apportion income of multi-state corporations to Iowa? All those things make a huge difference in the bottom line, what companies actually pay. So to my mind, there's the best overall measures of that are just taking total business taxes collected in Iowa, sales, property income taxes, corporate income taxes, taking that as a percent of either business income or gross state product, some measure of total business activity in the state. And there's two accounting firms that have done this and do this regularly. Ernst & Young is one. They concluded that Iowa is ranked about 29th. In other words, there's 21 states with tax rate lower than us, 28 with higher taxes.
And we're
right in the middle.
About in the middle.
Yep. In the region as well. And the other accounting firm that's looked at this is the Anderson Economic Group. And they concluded we're 28th, pretty close. Overall business taxes in the state, are not high.
So are some of our friends being a bit disingenuous? Or is this, they're actually saying the truth. The corporate rate here in Iowa is 12%, the highest in the nation, but it doesn't appear to us. I mean, we're seeing all kinds of businesses move and relocate and come to Iowa without consideration that there's a burdensome tax levy.
Would that be accurate? And, I think the reason for that is that if you look at total state and local taxes on business nationally, is it a national average as a percent of total business costs, you know, it's under 2%. It's not a big factor. So when a company is deciding where to expand, where to build a new plant, they look at a whole range of things, and other costs, labor costs, the quality and skill level of labor, transportation costs, access to markets, access to suppliers, raw materials, energy costs. Those things are going to weigh more heavily for most firms than the state and local tax bill. So you just don't have a whole lot of leverage over the decision. It's not, you know, important in magnitude compared to a range of other kinds of costs that vary by location.
So what you're saying is that there are a whole host of other things that corporations make up their mind whether or not to relocate in a state or in a province.
Sure, and I think if you're a server farm, obviously electricity costs,
of course,
are the big factor.
And someplace without earthquakes.
And someplace without earthquakes, preferably or hurricanes, either one.
Our guest is Peter Fisher, who holds a PhD in economics from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're talking about the wish list from most business groups here in Iowa, wishing that the Iowa legislature is going to cut the corporate tax rate from 12% to whatever number that they come up with. Have you heard, by the way, Dr. Fisher, any numbers bantered about by our friends in business where they'd like to see or where the legislature would like to see the corporate tax rate when they're through cutting away?
I have not. I don't have an inside track on that kind of information.
All right. Just checking with you.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm trying to figure out, and I see that you have been a consultant to the Iowa Department of Economic Development, which is relatively germane to this conversation. We here in Iowa are in what some have said is a budgetary mess. In other words, we've gone from nearly $1 billion surplus in the state to turned it around, and now we are in deficit spending, indicators that we're going to have to borrow and or cut an additional $50 to $75 million out of the state budget to make things on a level playing field as by our state constitution. So if we start cutting taxes, business taxes, and we're already spending, it would seem, or not collecting what we should be collecting, how does that work?
Well, that's the question of the day, I think, and it doesn't look to me like the budget problems we've had over the last several years, where we've been scrambling with mid-year budget cuts, that's not going to end. As you say, this fiscal year, we're going to be short. Again, mid-year cuts we're looking at. Not a lot of growth next year, not a lot of money to play with, even without any tax cuts. And we have regular obligations. I mean, costs go up, caseloads go up, prices of things go up. So when you look at what's going to happen if we eat away at a significant revenue source, once again, with more tax cuts, you have to look first at education because, you know, that's somewhere around 60% of the state budget is K-12 through, you know, university.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Education. And it's pretty hard to make much of a dent in the state budget without touching education.
Well, there is many of our cities. Well, let me go back to what happened in 2012. Governor Terry Branstad was governor, and there was this bipartisan tax cut for commercial businesses. Do you recall that?
You're talking about the commercial property tax?
Yes, commercial property tax bill.
Right.
And it reduced commercial property taxes. It didn't touch necessarily personal property taxes, but it did cut those taxes. And as a promise to the cities, the legislature and the governor said, okay, we've got $157 million that we're going to be able to disperse over a period of time as backfill money. One of the reasons that I think some people because it became a bipartisan bill, was that many individuals not in the governor's party came on to that bill believing that a cut in corporate property taxes was going to lower rents in the state of Iowa, therefore making more affordable housing for individuals seeking that. Our investigation indicates that didn't happen.
Yeah, of course, to do it scientifically, you'd have to know, well, what would rents have been if we hadn't done that? But, you know, there the academic in me is coming out, and that's pretty
that's
hard,
right.
Pretty hard to figure out, because you've got to run two versions of the future. We don't know how to do that yet. So, but yeah, I would be surprised if it had that much of an effect. One of the things that it did, where there was no backfill, by the way, that affects rental apartments, is they created this new class of property with a lower assessment rate, partly in an attempt to stop the wholesale conversion of apartments to condos so they could get the residential rollback.
Hmm.
But that's something that eroded the tax base for localities, and without any backfill from the state.
Right. Well,
I guess I'm not surprised it hasn't shown up as a measurable decrease in rents.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we've seen rents go up anywhere from 3 to 5% every year. When we talk about that backfill money, there's $157 million, and if that goes away, one of the things that I understand the legislature is looking at is saying, okay, you know, we'd love to give you this money, but we're in some tough straits already. But number two on the wish list for our friends in the business community, and, you know, we've been really doing a lot of this, is to continue our efforts at enticing businesses to come to Iowa by allowing significant tax breaks and tax abatement programs to them. What might, so if we're cutting the corporate taxes, we're going to continue rewarding companies for moving here and adding jobs. What does that do to the financial picture for the state?
You know, one of the arguments that Governor Branstad made for the commercial property tax cuts was that, property taxes were high here, and if we, one of the reasons why we had to give all these TIF incentives and other tax breaks was to compensate for higher property taxes. But, of course, then we lowered property taxes through the commercial property tax bill, but I haven't seen anybody say, there, now we don't need incentives anymore. The Department of Revenue has done some good systematic evaluations of some of these credits. They're required, the legislature is required to examine these every year, and they have not generally found a substantial degree or a significant degree of effectiveness. And I think it raises questions of whether we're getting our money's worth. As long as these credits never sunset, they just kind of go on in autopilot, there's not much of an incentive to seriously evaluate them and make them stand on their own to say, okay, we're going to do a budget here. We need all those tax credits to be part of the budget deliberation. They compete alongside school funding and mental health funding and everything, and road funding and everything else in the budget every year. And until we do that, I don't think we're going to have a serious debate about whether we're getting our money's worth.
So would Dr. Fisher, Peter Fisher, ladies and gentlemen, is who we're talking with right now, holds a PhD in economics from University of Wisconsin-Madison. Are you a skeptic, sir?
Well, I am a skeptic, yeah, and I think it's because of research that I've looked at that a lot of people have done, including myself, on what effect incentives do have on business activity. And you know, there's a way of doing that, because you can ask the question, if we look at, you know, the states or localities over a long period of time, can we see that the states that offer more incentives experience more growth? it's a measurable thing. It's something you can estimate statistically. And general conclusion is that you can see an effect, but it's pretty small. And the upshot is that for these kinds of routine incentives that we give out, investment tax credits and jobs credits and research credits, et cetera, roughly on average, probably 90% of it's going to businesses that would have done that anyway. They would have located there, they would have hired those people, et cetera. Because they're doing it for other reasons, and they're happy to take the credit, but it's not going to tip the balance in the majority of cases, which ends up making it a very expensive program.
I understand. Dr. Fisher, thank you for spending some time with us and giving, if you will, some clarity to some other things that we've been talking about and with our friends in the business community that are going to be heavily lobbying the 2018 legislature on these items. And if history is any judge of what we can see in the future, I understand the legislature is very much in favor of rolling back or giving some tax relief to businesses, as well as continuing the economic development opportunities for businesses in the future. So we shall see.
Yes, we shall.
All right. Dr. Fisher, thank you so very much for spending some time with us. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
All right, sir. All right, that again, Dr. Peter Fisher, ladies and gentlemen, taking a look at business tax credits. The whole, this whole half hour has been tax, right? Well, that's kind of what we do on the Business News Hour. We're going to jump aside and find out what happened today on Wall Street. And was it a good day or bad day? Somewhere in the between. We'll tell you when we come back here on the Business News Hour.